Broadcasting from London, Ontario, Canada, to the rest of the world, this is Talking Combat with Chris Toplak.
Welcome to another edition of Talking Combat with Chris Toplak. Appreciate you tuning in. Hope you had a great weekend. I had a chance to get away with the missus, even had Friday off, a rare day away from the office. Oddly enough, I actually like to be there, hands-on, involved. I don't want to miss anything, but did get away. If you are familiar with Ontario up here in Canada, got away to Blue Water County. So Grand Bend, Bayfield, and Goderich, had some good eats up there. They have little shops you can go into. My wife loves that. I'm so-so on that, but great food, great atmosphere, and of course, got Lake Huron right there. Amazing view. So had a chance to enjoy that, relaxed, recharged the batteries. And here I am back again, actually about to go away again. It's work-related, though. I'm going to be in Utah in a week's time, so just to kind of give you a little bit of a spoiler, next Sunday there will not be a show because I will be gone basically for the entire week in Salt Lake City, Utah. If you know of any good eateries there, feel free to let me know, by the way. A couple questions before we jump into the weekly recap. Did you watch Invicta? Did you watch the Floyd Mayweather fight, or did you watch neither? Let me know all over social media, and let's get to the weekly recap.
Miss something? We've got you covered. This is your weekly recap.
Kick off the season with the belt every fan needs. Of course, it is the Mission Belt. Stop by missionbelt.com today and view their full collection. There's literally something for everybody. They were actually recently featured on Good Morning America. Huge exposure. Year after year, this company continues to grow, so follow that growth all over social media and support them the same way they've supported me. Now, of course, it is the season to purchase a new belt. It's also pumpkin season. Wanted to touch on this quickly. Of course, many love their pumpkin spice lattes, their pumpkin spice muffins. I like pumpkin pie. But most importantly, my favorite, pumpkin ale. Oh yeah, it doesn't get any better than that. I'm not plugging anything. I'm just saying I freaking love pumpkin ale. How about that? So let's get to the weekly recap here. Bad news for UFC 191. Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson versus John Donson 2 drew the lowest live gate for a Vegas-based UFC pay-per-view in 11 years. That's not so good. And I'm certain the pay-per-view buy rate will probably reflect that as well, too. Again, it further supports the notion that while Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson is arguably the best pound-for-pound fighter on the planet, he's simply not a draw. Go back to the drawing board and figure out what else they can do with him. When you're drawing low gates and low pay-per-view numbers, it is a cause for concern. Do you want to pay $60 to see him fight? That's the biggest question they should be asking. And the numbers say, unfortunately, not. A huge fight announcement, and this is going to be taking place in the new year, January 17th, on FS1. Many were surprised this is going to be on free television. I'll explain the theory behind it, in my humble opinion. TJ Dillashaw will defend his bantamweight championship against the former champ. Perhaps the man that many can still consider to be the bantamweight champion, Dominic Cruz. He never lost that belt, had to forfeit it due to injury. Again, taking place January 17th on FS1. So why is it taking place on free television? Knock on wood, what if Dominic Cruz gets injured? Easier to replace this than a pay-per-view, right? Because with a pay-per-view, you have a lot on the line on free television, quite a bit, but not nearly as much. Let me know what you think. Eddie Alvarez versus Anthony Pettis will also appear on the card as well. That's another huge fight. So we already have an excellent main event, an excellent co-main event. I'm knocking on wood all I can to ensure that both of those fights run smoothly and they're going to be taking place. Rumors that Miesha Tate versus Amanda Nunes will be taking place at UFC 194. Dana White actually spoke about Miesha Tate at length, and Miesha Tate actually spoke about this potential fight. So before we say it's official, you might want to hear about this. So here's what Dana White had to say about Miesha Tate and the fact that she would have to fight at least another one or two times before Ronda Rousey. We had talked about that fight between Tate and I being the next contender fight, but when you really look at the fight, Miesha Tate has lost to Ronda twice. Miesha, at this point in her career, if she loses to Ronda Rousey a third time, it's a career killer. I know it seems like Miesha got a bad break in this thing, but realistically, when you look at it, Miesha has lost to her twice. Misha's going to have to knock off a couple more people before she gets to Ronda. Speaking of the upcoming fight with Amanda Nunes, here's what Miesha had to say. No, I'm definitely not signed to fight Nunes. It's confusing. Conflicting reports. It's been rumors. Some outlets actually claimed it was official, then they backtracked, of course. I haven't talked to the UFC or my coaches or my management about it. As far as what's next, I really don't know. I need to get home. I need to talk to my management and my coaches. So again, what is their problem with Miesha Tate? They left her in the dark in terms of finding a new contender, because she also mentioned in the article, I was sleeping. And I received about 30 text messages waking up saying, I'm sorry. I'm sorry you did not get your shot. That sucks. Tough break. And she's thinking, what the hell did I wake up to? Half the world found out before me. And again, she doesn't even know if this fight is taking place. So you have to work at jobs where the lines of communication are blurry and it drives you crazy. Same thing happening with her. But she has nowhere else to go if she gets completely frustrated. She's not going to Bellator anytime soon. Speaking of other prominent fighters, Cyborg is apparently going to fight at 140 pounds on the Invicta FC 15 card. My question, how can she not cut another 5 pounds in debut in the UFC? I know it's easier said than done, but it can happen. Just drives me crazy. It's just 5 pounds. That's all we're looking at here. I know it's a massive weight cut. Get an excellent nutritionist in there and make it happen. Invicta is a great organization, but we want to see her in the UFC. We want to see if she's the real deal. Just so delayed. Sarah Kaufman will return in another bantamweight bout. She's taking on Jermaine de Rondamy. Probably butchered the name. That's okay. Taking place at UFC on Fox 17. At least I admit it. At least I don't try and disguise it, right? According to a report coming out of Russia, it was sovsport.ru, Fedor will announce his signing in about 2 weeks. Here's what he had to say. I cannot say exactly, but negotiations with the leading promoters are in place. In the next 2 or 3 weeks, everything will become clear. I want to spend my return fight abroad in Japan or the United States, but later I will definitely schedule a fight in my homeland, Russia. Here's a big question for you. Do you want to see Fedor in the UFC? I posed this question on Twitter, Google Plus. I received huge feedback on Google Plus, and most were actually Fedor fans saying, no, we don't want to see it happen because there is no way he can compete with the top five in the heavyweight division. I'm of the same mindset. Could you imagine Fedor going in there against JDS, Stipe Miocic? We're doomed at this point. Cain Velasquez. I just don't know. Maybe he could defeat, you know, Frank Mir. I'm sure he could. What about Andrei Arlovsky in Fedor? I'd love to see that rematch. But do you want to see him in the UFC at this point in his career, knowing that he's probably undersized? Which is fine. Daniel Cormier was the same way. Doesn't make sense. It's tough because I finally want to see it happen. I'm a longtime Fedor fan, but I feel like that ship has already sailed. And it's not going to be Bellator that he ends up in, by the way. So who knows where he's going to be? Ronda Rousey has even more on her plate. Of course, there were rumors she's going to be at WrestleMania 32. She's already filming a movie currently. She has another one on the horizon, set to star in the Roadhouse remake from MGM. And by the way, she's already set to co-star in a film called Mile 22 with Mark Wahlberg, which will be filmed overseas in 2016. So she already signed on as well, too, to do a biopic. That's based on her life. That's the story from her autobiography released earlier this year. And then with this Roadhouse remake, of course, it was Patrick Swayze. He passed away. Now, his widow actually gave Ronda the seal of approval, saying, yes, you know what? You have my approval. Patrick would give you his approval that you can go ahead and do this film. So she has three films on the horizon. Is fighting her main focus? Great question.
You've got the questions. He's got the answers. It's Ask the Talk.
Welcome to the talk show. This is Ask the Top, where we ask the hard questions and I give you the definite answers.
That's exactly what it feels like, does it not? Like I'm on some 70s game show. Nevertheless, this is Ask the Top, my favorite segment on Talking Combat. All you need to do is just submit your UFC-related questions or MMA-related questions or even show-related questions all over social media. And if I can, I will answer them here on the program. So I have about four or five to get to, so bear with me. Kicking it off from Jamie via Google Plus, we get a lot of questions through that outlet. You often criticize fighters for not making the most of an opportunity with a live microphone. If you were their coach, how would you make sure they do make the most of it? Great question, Jamie, and this is all off the top of my head. I'd say about 3 points. So the first is call someone out and ask for a fight. That is your chance. Get what you want. That's how you get the fans rallying behind you. That's how Joe Silva or Sean Shelby or Lorenzo or Dana will sit there and scratch their head and go, yeah, that fight actually does make sense. Gives them an easier job. Say something memorable. Not Yoel Romero style, but say something memorable. And also, most importantly, leave the fans wanting more. Example. So let's say Joe Rogan asks, hey, what's next? You know, this is something that I would probably say. This is off the top of my head. This might not be perfect, but you give me a live microphone right now, this is what I would say. Based on the rankings, it makes sense for me to fight blank. Quite frankly, I'm the better fighter. I want the chance to prove it. That takes me one step closer to becoming a title contender, and it's not a matter of if, but when I have that belt placed around my waist. You're about to witness history, Joe. Something so quick. So basically what I did, I went in there, I called out a fighter. I also mentioned that it's a matter of time before I am champion and you're about to witness history. Short and sweet. I dig it. It's all I want to hear. Boom. Done. Frank Jr. via Google Plus. Not from Frank Sr., by the way. Been listening to you for about the past 6 months. And it's the only MMA show I tune into. Very humbling. I appreciate that. Why are so many other shows overly scripted? Any podcast, Frank, that is overly scripted tells me one thing. You're lacking confidence and you're afraid to make mistakes. Now, I can speak to this as well, too, because I worked in radio for a number of years. Same issue. We all make mistakes, make them, get over them, but you better learn how to recover from them properly. That's the biggest thing. Because when I do this show, it's done. I don't go back and nitpick and re-record and edit. So when you hear a mistake, it's kept in. It's authentic. I like it that way. You hear the people that go in and they spend hours editing their show, or if it's live, it's completely scripted. And I will never, ever tune into that because I can tell. I've got the ears for it, right? So during my career in radio and even sales for that matter, I've trained many new employees and also I took some co-op students under my wing. So for anyone who's hoping to become an on-air talent, whether that's a podcast, radio, wherever the case may be, I offered this one piece of advice. Be yourself, because you have to find your own voice. If you want to do a gimmick, then you better live that gimmick. But don't overly script your show. Don't script a show, period. Make bullet points, like I do. Make some points here and there, and I'll just talk about them. Expand on them. And this provides you with a sense of direction while you avoid just simply reading words off the computer screen or, of course, a piece of paper. Most shows that I hear, they have these elaborate jokes written out. And they're like, oh, I have to get this in. I have to get this in. I have to get this in. Let it flow. That's what we want to hear, a conversation. Somebody just talking to us and not at us. I'd like to think that's what I bring to the table. This is as authentic as it gets. So hopefully that answers your question, Frank. And if you're hoping to create your own podcast, shoot me a message. I'll help you out. Done it before with many. Bearded Warrior via Twitter, whatever happened to Dustin Hazlett? I used to like him. And by the way, if you own this game, it was UFC 2009. Undisputed. He was one of the toughest fighters to compete against. He'd submit me all over the place whenever I created a new fighter. I was thinking, I'd rather face George St. Pierre than Dustin Hazlett. How much sense did that make? So he retired from MMA back in 2010. It's kind of abrupt, but he did lose, I believe, two or three in a row at that point. He went back to school. He's now employed as a paramedic in West Virginia. I only know this because, oddly enough, MMA Junkie wrote an article about him last month. I recall reading it. And I was thinking, oh, it's good. I heard he was going back to school, so he's doing quite well. He has no ambition to step back into the octagon. He's only about 30 years old. I think he walked away when he's like 26. But yeah, I think he's completely done. No regrets. Jenny via Twitter received this one before, but I'll answer it again. Do you consider Daniel Cormier to be the real light heavyweight champion? No, I do not. It's not to offend anybody. He's the current champ, but in order to become the quote-unquote real champ, he must avenge that loss to John Jones. John Jones did not lose the belt. He was stripped of the belt due to personal reasons. Not defending John. I mean, he has to own up to what he did. But at the same time, I do believe John Jones will return stronger than ever. He's going to steamroll through the entire division again. Because John is just that athletically gifted. Last question on the program, and we're going to wrap it up. Jason via Google Plus. I used to be a diehard UFC fan, but only watch the big pay-per-views now. When the company lost GSP, Brock Lesnar, and many others, I lost immediate interest. Is there any reason for me to tune in often again? Well, let me first say, Jason, those two individuals that you mentioned, irreplaceable. My favorite era of fighting was when George St. Pierre, Brock Lesnar, and so many others were active all the time. I loved it. Used to go out to bars with a bunch of friends. We'd watch these fights and the atmosphere was electric. It's not the same anymore. I'll be completely honest with you. I love the UFC and it pains me to say that, but it's completely true. We've lost those big fight feels, right? In terms of excitement, though, the fights still deliver. I think the UFC has done a subpar job of building new stars. Let's be honest about that. But at the same time, the fights deliver. That's what matters most, right? It's still a proverbial chess match. You can't fully predict it. It could go either way. And remember this. In hockey, there's three periods. In football, there's four quarters. Basketball, four quarters. Baseball, nine innings. But in the UFC, even though there's three or five rounds, anything can happen. One slip up, one mistake could cost you the fight. I love that aspect of MMA. And that's the reason why you should continue to tune in. Because it is so unpredictable. And these fights do deliver. So Jason, that's my little pitch to you. But if you're wanting to watch it for the GSPs and the Brock Lesnars of the world, it just ain't going to happen. Because we've got Ronda, got Connor, who at this point is being shoved down her throat. We have some stars. Some definite stars. But once we see John Jones return, maybe Dominic Cruz return, I think some of those pieces are going to start falling into place. So exciting times are coming, my friend. Believe me. That's going to do it for another edition of Talking Combat with Chris Toplak. Hope you enjoyed it. Didn't feel like we covered a ton, but we still talked about quite a bit. And as I mentioned off the top, next Sunday, there will not be a show. Reason being, I will be across the country, essentially. I'm there for the entire week. There's no way I can fit in a show. I do apologize, but obviously that's my first priority. So perhaps I'll even type something up and write a blog if I can. I have some free time. I'm going to actually explore Salt Lake City. So if you have any recommendations, whether that's food or things to do, I know they have a good museum there, dinosaur fossils. I love that stuff. Feel free to let me know at Chris Toplak all over social media. And I guess in a couple weeks, you'll hear from me again, but In this case, take care, enjoy your UFC action, and happy trails to you until we meet again.
This concludes another edition of Talking Combat with Chris Toplak. Follow him on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, or at ChrisToplak.com. And visit MMASucka.com for a new show every Sunday. She wears her hair.